We're reading Revelations 19, starting at the verse 6. And the title is The Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Our text was verse 9. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. And our topic this evening as well, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this evening sermon, such a comforting passage. This passage we see that all heartache, all pain, all suffering, all persecution will in the end be worth it. Like we have said last week already, in Revelation 19, our focus is not on earth anymore, but in heaven. On earth, Babylon was destroyed in Revelation 18, and the people on earth were crying. But in heaven, a great multitude and the 24 elders and the four living creatures were rejoicing. Babylon has fallen, but the heaven is rejoicing. They are singing praise songs about the destruction of Babylon, the worldly city who persecuted God's people, who deceived the inhabitants of the earth, and gave glory to the Lord. Revelation 19, it was a great multitude. They are crying out, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belongs to our God, for his judgments are true and just, for he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and has avenged on her the blood of his servant. For a second time they were calling out, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever, and the word Hallelujah means praise the Lord. It's Hebrew, but written here in Greek letters, the only place in the New Testament. In verse 5, John heard a voice. The voice was not from God, but from one of the living creatures around God's throne. That all God's servants are called to praise him, small and great, and the great multitude were crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the Hallelujah choir rejoiced over the fall of Babylon, and it rose in intensity so that it sounded to John like the roar of many waters. Verse 6. And all the promises of the Lord came in fulfillment. Revelation 19. Everything comes together. The marriage supper of the Lamb has come. And all the hallelujahs about God's vengeance, about God's justice over Babylon, have passed gradually into a celebration and a marriage between Christ and his bride. Every invitation over the centuries has now come in fulfillment. Every parable and every prophecy are fulfilled. This is why this is such a glorious passage. Why is Jesus called the groom and the church his bride? And I've listened to Brian's sermon this evening, and he had that especially how God is calling the church or the people his bride in a marriage. And that's what Isaiah prophesied in chapter 54, verse 5 and 6, and 62, verse 5, about God as the husband, his people as his bride. For a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Jesus himself explained that he is the groom, the church is bride, in Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13, with the parable of the 10 virgins. And so Jesus compared his coming with the coming of a bridegroom to the house of his bride. According to Jewish custom, the groom usually came late in the evening, surrounded by his friends. He usually rode on a horse. He was dressed like a prince. In relation to this, we can also read Revelation 19, where Christ's return is described as a rider on a white horse, covered with white and fine linen, and the armies of heaven and believers followed him. That's next week's sermon. Christ as the groom who comes on a white horse. And the angel said in verse 9 of your Bible reading, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Beloved, maybe you are asking this evening, am I invited? And a wonderful answer, yes, you are. You are invited. And the most important is, if you're going to accept the invitation, do you believe in Jesus as your only Lord and Savior? Are you going to the cross with your sin? And then Easter Sunday, are you resurrected to a new life in Jesus? Or are there excuses that you can't accept Jesus' invitation? Matthew 22, verse 5. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. And the last question, do you expect him to accept you with dirty clothes without daily repentance? It's so important. Chapter 19 is also the fulfillment of the parable that Jesus told about the wedding feast. That's Matthew 22. And it will be great if you can turn your Bibles to Matthew 22, verse 1 to 14. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. While the rest seized his servants, treated him shamefully and killed him. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned the city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" In Revelation 19, all these questions were answered. This parable God prepared for his son a wedding feast or a banquet. Already in the Old Testament, God sent his prophets, his slaves, to the people to call for the celebration of life with Christ, the marriage between God and his people. And the Israelites did not accept this invitation. Brian told us this morning as well about the judges, how they did not accept. They rejected it. And then in the New Testament, God's invitations were then directed by John the Baptist with a direct call to repentance, repent for the kingdom of God has come near. And the invitation was directed by Jesus as well, Matthew 21 verse 38. And they killed Jesus. Those who were invited refused to come. Two aspects in the behavior of the guests can be seen. The indifference, they were more interested in the earthly than the heavenly things. Interested in material things, in their farms, their businesses, rather than the spiritual. Better things to do. Better things to do on this Easter weekend. But we should also see their hostility because they abused the slaves and the son and killed him. And so Jesus told the sad history of Israel, their contempt of God's grace. But God's plan had also included the heathen nations. Now the church was incorporated. Also invitations to all nations. And that's the golden thread that ran through the Gospel of Matthew. The Jews rejected the invitation and then the gospel went to the Gentiles and the elect who believed by God's grace alone. Without any merit to them, good and bad were gathered out of the street. Verse Matthew 22, and it's out of grace alone. God changed the people's life. And the people from the street were dressed in wedding clothes, justified in Christ through grace alone. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And at that time, it was an insult to the king. The man wanted to be present, but was not interested in the honor of the king. He thought his dirty clothes were good enough. He wanted to be part of the wedding, but without any repentance effort from his side and his own conditions. God sees in the heart and he demanded accountability. With this man, Jesus referred to people who wanted to be members, who wanted to be there at a wedding feast, but were not willing to change their lifestyle and live a life of holiness according to his words. These are the people who say they are believers, but their actions, their lifestyles are contrary to their faith. There's no fruit of repentance. People who are interested to come to the wedding of the King of all kings, but they think they can come with dirty clothes. And so we read in Matthew 22 that a man who thought that he could attend the wedding without wedding clothes, without Jesus, was speechless when he was caught. And so we will be not able to give an answer one day before the ultimate judge on Judgment Day. If we are still in the garment of persistent sin with our true repentance and our clothes that are washed in Jesus' blood. And the king said, bind him and high hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How can you come to the wedding feast of the Son? You must put the right clothes on. That's what Revelation 19 tells us. And this wedding clothes in our passage is the garment Christ prepared on the cross for his guests. The garment had been interwoven with his sufferings and blood. And so Paul wrote to the church in Rome, rather clothe yourself with Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. How should we repent and put the clothes on? We should repent, accept this gift of God with a believing heart. And there must be a radical change in your life, an internal change in terms of your thinking, your feelings, your attitude, your desires. Also perceived in a visible external change in the way you act, how you talk, Colossians 3, how you behave towards other people. God asked to change your whole being, and he's doing this for his spirit. And although the invitation was directed to everyone, God is expecting appropriate wedding clothes, life of gratitude and daily repentance. Revelation 19 verse 8, we see how this was fulfilled. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And so our confession and question and answer 60 of the Heidelberg Catechism also teaches, it's not because the value my faith has that God is pleased with me. Only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness make me right with God. Clothe yourself with Christ. Through Christ we are made righteous. And this is the wonderful news that we hear and that we need to hear time and time again. In Christ there's a rest, but also there will be a marriage supper when he comes again. Revelation 19, we see the redeemed church, the bride of Christ, out of all the nations, all the people, all the languages. And they are washed in the blood of the Lamb. They are clothed with righteousness. And they are about to dine at a marriage supper of the Lamb. And so the instruction comes in verse 7. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. Let us sing hallelujah at the day that all believers waited and prayed for has come. All the prophecies have been fulfilled and the groom is now stepping forward. He's coming. He prepared his bride so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Let us first go back about the wedding banquet of the Lamb or the wedding feast of the Lamb. And there's so much to see here. In the Word of God, three meals are described. The Passover, the Lord's Supper, and the wedding supper of the Lamb. And if you read Luke 22 verse 14 to 16, all three of them are mentioned in Luke 22, verse 14 to 16. And when the hour came, that's the hour of Passover, he reclined the table and the apostles with him. And he said to him, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. With the Passover, the week before our Lord Jesus was crucified, he instituted the Lord's Supper, and he told his disciples about the wedding feast. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. With every Lord's Supper that the Lord's Church used over the centuries, we confess the prophetic character of the wedding feast, that we will look to with joy to the day when all will be in all, and we look with uplifted heads towards the great day of the Lord, when we will eat and drink it anew with Jesus in his Father's kingdom. And so the Passover was fulfilled in the Lord's Supper's promises that Jesus was the Lamb given as a propitiation for all our sins. And the Lord's Supper's promises will be fulfilled in the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Passover preached redemption from the captivity of Israel out of Egypt. The Lord's Supper preaches redemption at Golgotha, where Jesus died as the ultimate redeemer of our sin. And the marriage supper of the Lamb of Revelation 19 preaches redemption and eternal salvation that await God's children after they are redeemed from Babylon. And this is our comfort. This is why this is such a great comfort and a comforting passage. That when we are attacked by our arch enemies, that's the world, the devil, and our sinful nature, who are making life difficult for the believer, we can know Babylon will be destroyed, but there will be a marriage supper of the Lamb. And we know, and you can know it this evening, brothers and sisters, you are invited. You are invited, and you will join as God's people, redeemed by his Son, at a marriage supper of the Lamb. that their clothes are washed by his blood, and it's fine linen, bright and pure. Can you imagine that day? That day when we will sit with the Lord as the host. The kind of rest that the Lord will give you. How privileged we are to hear this invitation and that we could accept. Can we imagine that sin will no longer disturb us? Death will no longer make us afraid. You will be with your Lord and Savior forever. And you will sing hallelujah with the heavenly choir. And we are invited to this wedding feast. Blessed are we, said the angel. Come and find clothes. Come, because Christ is inviting you. I conclude, God wants you to be at that wedding feast. He wants you to be his child, and he did everything so that you could come and live. He gave his son to die for your sins. He rules. He lives. He did it all so that you could come. And then, will you leave your life of sin behind and follow him? The Lord is standing at the door of your heart with the invitation to the marriage supper. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are invited. Also that we can know that we can come. We can come because of our risen Lord and Savior who was crucified for our sins. And our clothes, our sins, were washed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also that we can know that the Lord's Supper that we still use is assuring us of this wedding feast, the wedding feast that is certain and that we look forward to. Where our Lord Jesus Christ is the groom, is the rider on the white horse, and he comes to get his bride. Father, we thank you for all your promises, all the assurances that we can have in this book. This revelation that you gave to your church, that we can know nothing is in vain, but in Jesus we are more than conquerors. Father, we pray for your church, and we thank you, Lord, that we could celebrate on this Easter our risen Lord Jesus Christ, that in him we can see how all prophecies are fulfilled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.